Drew Kelso, One Mode of Sports. Drew, obviously, like, known you for a while now. Awesome being able to see you in person and get a chance to link up
for sure.
You.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. So, you know, with you being an agent, you know, we want to pick your brain on a bunch of stuff, but I want to ask you a little bit about the agency first, and,
okay,
like, how you got to be. So, like, how do you, like, go from, you know, I know that you used to play. How do you go from being a former player to being an agent? What's that journey look like
for you? Yeah, so my journey is definitely unique. Our whole staff's journey is unique. I started it in 2018. I played in college. I graduated in 2011. I had dreams of being an agent when I was 13.
Yeah.
You know, I played on this circuit before. That was really a thing. You know, play with a lottery pick, play with, like, high-level guys. I knew I was good enough to get my school paid for, but nothing probably beyond that. And so it's always realistic, and, you know, I always wanted to be an agent. But, you know, life kind of hit me. I got burned out on basketball when I was 21, you know, my senior year. I started a retail business in my dorm room when I was 21. And so I actually ran that for, like, 8 years. And, you know, it's kind of a long story, and people that know it, where the name One Motive comes from, it was kind of a vision laid out for me by my best friend that passed away. And it's always what he wanted me to do, was be an agent, because he knew that was my dream. And so we named it after him about a year after he passed in 2018. Just had no idea what I was doing when I started. You know, my partner, Thomas Sandlin, and I, we co-founded it together. You know, we were all overseas only at first. Had pretty low level guys, honestly, like, respectfully to those guys, but, you know, we weren't able to go recruit the type of guys that we can now. And I think it's the biggest blessing that I had, was I had to learn the different areas of basketball. Like, I had to learn, okay, what makes a good player for Finland or Pro B Germany or whatever. I could walk in the gym and talent eval that. It's easy to go in and see that Darren Peterson's a lottery pick. Anybody can do that.
Yep.
I think where the talent eval really started for me was going to a random NAI or a D2 gym, or, like, go watch a, you know, a Sunbelt game, and, like, okay, this guy that's averaging 7 a game, like, I think he can play XYZ. So I had to learn that market first. And I did that from 2018 to 2022 before we ever had anybody in the G League. So got my NBA license in 2021. Started with my pre-draft group in 22. It was just Daquan Plowden and Drake Jeffries back then. And those were kind of my guinea pigs. Both got Exhibit 10 contracts that summer. And then I've been off and running since. We've had 5 guys in the NBA the last 3 years. Kind of the journey. They've all been underdogs too.
Yeah.
We're not supposed to be where we are. All 5 of our guys were undrafted. Never had a draft pick. Never had, you know, never. I've only had 2 of those 5 made Portsmouth. And none of them got G League Elite Camp or the Combine. So we've always kind of developed a niche of, like, diamond in the rough type, you know, and you know, they got themselves in the NBA. We just found them and put them in position. So,
I love that. Yeah, that's I love that mindset of, like, you know, we're underdogs. We haven't got there, but I feel like there's a yet at the end of that.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that you're, like, knowing you the way that I do, like, you're a pretty humble guy as well, right? So,
we hope so.
I know that yet.
Yeah, for sure. It's not easy, man. And you know, I'm very careful to throw around those 3 letters of the NBA just because. I know how hard it is to get there. I've seen guys that, quote unquote, weren't supposed to get there. I've seen guys that were supposed to get there, not, right? So I'm very realistic with where we are as a company. And, you know, we enjoy the diamond digging, but, you know, hopefully one day that turns into something new.
Absolutely. Is there any sort of, I know, obviously, like, some of the stuff, but, like, what do you look for in a player, like, as an agent, right? Like, I think everybody wants – you mentioned that everyone can look at Darren Peterson
sure.
and say that he's a lottery-level talent. But what are you looking for in a prospect to say this is a one-motive guy?
That's a great question. We kind of coin – it's nothing too original, but we always identify what's an OKG, our kind of guy, right? And we try to pinpoint guys early on during the year or, you know, years in advance, or, you know, obviously with the portal now and all that, it's different. Like, so many guys in college have an agent, and we do a little bit on the NIL side as well. You know, I think if you're looking at a fringe guy, like, I'm talking about being on the fringe and making it, right, you gotta have certain characteristics. I think you have to have some level of toughness to you. You gotta be able to go through some adversity. You know, I think you have to have one. If you don't have an elite skill yet, you gotta have something that's very close to getting there, right? You know, you always hear guys and scouts talk about what's their elite skill. You know, or do you have an elite translatable skill? You know, you look at certain, and if you have more than one, then you're probably going to be better. If you have one and you can do everything else sufficient, then you have a chance. you know, I mean, I have certain things that I look for in particular, but like obviously, you know, like everybody's shooting, positional size, you know, things like that. But I think just like from a, and it's got to be a good person, you know. And like I've gotten made fun of, like, or chastised a little bit for like being the overly high character agency. But like when you deal with these guys on a day to day basis, and more so when these teams deal with a guy on a day to day basis, and you're a fringe guy, you're a two way, you're an exhibit 10, whatever, they're not going to put up with your stuff, right? Yeah. You can only be a bad person so long. At a certain point, your character has to kick you. And so we've done a really, I've never been 100% right, never will be, but we've done a really good job as a staff of identifying like good people. You know, like, you know, we have Kawasi Reeves here at Portsmouth, and I guess he's averaging like 18 a game through two games, so he's been great.
He's been pretty good. Yeah.
He's been pretty good. And so, but like the people talk about that, but they also talk about better, like how good of a dude he is in the interview. You know, and like he's genuinely like a great person. And that to me is like, that's going to give him a chance.
Yeah.
The same way he gave Malavar Lyons, Daquan Plyle, and those guys, like, that's what their calling card is. And I think that's an elite skill that people don't talk about.
Yeah, I think, too, that's not even just a basketball thing. Like, people don't want to work with people that they don't like.
No doubt. And I think, we talked about it before. Like, I think as a talent eval guy, like you guys are, like, you guys might not dig into intel as much, right? Like, you see a guy that's super talented and, you know, but there may be a lot of baggage, right, that you can't control.
Yeah.
And so for us, like, you got to not bend on the character piece. Like, I don't want to do that. Like, all these teams here, when I first came here in 2022, my first time in Portsmouth, I didn't know anybody here, like, scout-wise, personnel-wise. And now I know all of them, pretty much. And it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with the process that we've put in place and proof of concept. And they're always wanting to know who we have next coming up the pipeline, or, you know, what so-and-so going to be doing or whatever. And that's a good feeling, because that we've established a brand of the type of people we're trying to bring in and the player.
Yeah, because we talk about character, man. Like, they know NBA teams now when they're getting the one motive sports guy. Yeah. That's something they can count on. You don't have to worry about them off the floor getting to something, rated in practice. And with the agency, just we'll be honest about, like, with the nature of being a sports agent, it can be a dirty game. Like, how do you stay above that, stay with your high character, and, you know, stay above water by still doing right by your clients?
No, that's a great question. I think you're right. I think, you know, hopefully teams know what they're getting when they get one of our guys, typically. I think with NIL and everything now, it's just so easy to get sucked into, just being honest, like, it's still a business at the end of the day. It's how I feed my family. You know, we have a staff of 10 people now. It's how they feed their families. So it's like, we still have to check off the boxes of, like, okay, what are we looking for? And I think it's a very cutthroat business, right? You know, I try to be friendly with all agents that are, I'm respectful enough for anybody that's crazy enough to get in this business, right? But then there's times that it goes left where, you know, it's so many people are driven by the money,
yeah,
you know, and they're driven by the wrong things. And so I think as long as we keep, you know, our moral compass where we're trying to keep it, I think we'll get the guys we're supposed to get. You know, I think that's really it.
I love that. And before, because, you know, we want to talk to you about, like, Portsmouth stuff, too. Like, we have a lot of people who want to know, like, the inside baseball for the Portsmouth side of things. Like, you talked about how you're representing Kawasi, right?
Yeah.
Your agency.
Kawasi, excuse me.
Yeah. I got to get that right.
Yeah, yeah.
So for Kawasi, anybody else that that we would...
In this class? Yeah, so we have Isaac Neely from Louisville that we're really high on. Tremendous shooter. I mean, top 10 all time, ACC, three-pointers made.
Yep.
And we've got some, you know, guys that are just, you know, similar fringe guys. Jamal Brown from UCLA, tough dude. Brendan Hawson from Iowa, Justin Porter from Clemson, and Grant Newell from Western Kentucky right now. So we have six guys right now along with Kawasi, or five guys along with Kawasi.
Incredible. I also want to ask you a little bit about, like, as an agent, and I know that you've been nice enough to let me pick your brain.
Absolutely.
You've let me live in your head for a while now.
It's the Arkansas connection.
That's it. That's all it is, a good old boy system. What's it like, though, as an agent, trying to get a player to the NBA, but you're also having to deal with, like, the machinations of NIL and the transfer portal? I know that that's a hectic time.
As in me dealing with both at the same time, or just
sure, it, just like in general?
Yeah. So
how
I mean,
did those things impact you?
Yeah. I think we're learning every day on the NIL side. Like, you know, I'll be the first to admit that I'm not an NIL expert. I don't know. I people claim to be. I think there's people that are really good at it. I think we're still learning. It something changes every day.
Yeah.
You know, we started up the NIL division in our company about 3 years ago, yeah. And it's a crazy world, man. It's a different space. The portal's crazy. I think, you know, the biggest thing that we want to do, you know, especially for me, like, I'll be the first to tell you, like, I'm probably the agent that probably is not the biggest proponent of it. Like, I'm glad the guys are getting paid.
Sure.
I think it's absolutely out of control. I'm not trying to cap their money. I think there just needs to be some sort of regulation on what we're, like, the type of people that are representing these kids, you know, the type of people, the guidance that they're getting. You know, like, we want that as an agency. And we'll see what happens with that. I think there's still a lot of changes to be made with NIL. But, like, my biggest goal with NIL, like, the one thing I am a proponent of, obviously, other than the kids making money and, you know, the company making money, obviously, is we want to cultivate pros.
Yeah.
You know, like, when we signed Isaac McNeely, we had some big competitors that were bigger firms that were trying to get him. But I think we sold him on us, the genuineness of us, and that he was a priority with us. And, like, I still believe he can be an NBA player. You know, I think he will be. And I think, like, we took him through the NIL process with the end goal in mind of making him an NBA guy.
Yeah.
It was the money that he made in Louisville was awesome. But, okay, how do we go a step further? Like, when we were going to the portal with him, it was like trying to find the best fit for his NBA potential. And so, you know, that's kind of the way that I see it, is I want to go with guys, like, whether it's overseas. I mean, we have a whole overseas division. We have, you know, Vlad Montalbano runs our international division. We have a lot of guys overseas. Whether it's guys for international pros or NBA pros, like, we want to cultivate them, and then they don't have to sign with us when they get done. Like, the way NIL is stated, like, you're not supposed to pay for play, which is kind of crazy. Yeah. That's the terminology. But our hope is they sign with us on the pro side, and, like, we start to build that family. You know, we're real big on the whole family thing with us, and build that relationship. They don't even think about it. You know, four of our six that I mentioned, our rookie class came from our NIL division. Kawasi and Grant Noor are the only two that didn't. So, like, we committed to them early. We want to take them through the process. Whatever happens for them, you know, we'll go through it. But that's what we're really trying to do.
Awesome.
Can you talk a little bit about you being how genuine you are when you're recruiting and making guys a priority? I don't want you to give all your secrets away, but Can you give a little bit what makes one motive different? What's kind of the secret sauce? Because you talked about getting McNeely from bigger agencies.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not by accident.
I that's a great question. I think a lot of it has to do with the kids that we target, right? I think, you know, I think with Isaac in particular, like, is a guy that didn't need the glitz and the glamour, right? He's from a town of 800 people. I'm from Arkansas.
Can relate.
Yeah. So, you know, but I mean, obviously we've recruited guys from all over the world, but, like, you know, I think the biggest thing is just, like, you're not going to get a different version of me. Like, I'm always going to be the same. You know, I'm not trying to be something I'm not. The company's not trying to be something I'm not. We know who we are. We know who we're not. And, you know, that's the way we're going to get the kids. I said it earlier, we're going to get the kids we're supposed to get.
Yep.
It's frustrating sometimes when we lose on recruiting battles. Sure. I'm competitive.
Yeah.
I want to be the best. I lost on a couple of kids this year. I would love to have. But it just wasn't meant to be. I think when people ask around about us, the one thing I will brag on is, like, nobody's going to say – I would think nobody's going to say that, like, they were treated wrong by us,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, they might have not had the best career, the best contract or whatever, but, like, they know that myself, our staff, like, their families, they're going to be taken care of. And no matter how many guys we have, like, that's one thing I always challenge our guys. It's like, we overly care, you know, like, you can, mm-hmm. you know, I don't do anything for clout. I could care less if anybody knows who I am.
Yeah.
I want them to know the Ole Miss brand. You know, but, like, you talk about a guy like Daquan Pop, and I think everybody in the world can look at 1 second of my social media and see how much I care about the dude.
Oh, yeah.
To me, he's the best, man. So, like, I'm going to take care of him, and hopefully we got him for the rest of his career. So I think that's what sets us apart is, like, if you don't want somebody that's going to be super transactional, then that's what we're about.
I love that. All right, so let's shift over now, right, for Portsmouth. That's
sure.
where we're at now.
Yeah.
How do you, like, as an agent, like, how do you and your clients, like, how does this whole process work from the time of, like, okay, our season's over, how can we get our guys in front of people? How do we get the thumbs up? How do we prepare? Just like, what's that whole process like?
Yeah, no, great question. So I, you know, I've had five imports of it now. Kwesi's my fifth one. And, you know, it's a little different. Like, you know, they have their committee that votes on it. I know the NBA teams vote on it as well. The committee usually has the final say, so who they bring in. And I thought they did a great job this year with the field.
Oh, yeah.
I think, you know, for me, like, this situation this year was a little different because Kwesi actually had an invite before we signed him. So he got, like, on the first batch of invites they sent out right after the season was over. So, you know, like, once we got him, then it was immediately shifting gears to, okay, let me hit up all 30 teams and see who wants to interview him. And I don't know, I either like 15, 16 interviews already here. Like, he's interviewed with half the league.
Yeah.
You know, and we're trying to, you know, put him in front of as many people as we can. And then, like, we'll start our pre-draft stuff in Arkansas May 1st. So not only him, but the other five or six guys that we have, however we wind up getting, like, we put their information in front of all 30 teams. I'm working the phones constantly trying to get them workouts. You know, you heard me outside. Like, I'm already talking to the team. Like, hey, man, I'll be bugging you. So, you know, because that's when you're a fringe guy, those are important.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they're important for everybody. But when you're a fringe guy, every workout matters.
Yeah.
And so that's really the prep process. And then, like, obviously walking through the hotel here where everybody's staying at, walking through the gym, communicating with people. And then when Kwesi's played as well as he had, like, it makes it a little easier to talk to people about it, right? So that's the kind of the prep for that.
Okay.
And stay with Kwesi. Obviously, what he's doing in Portsmouth has been incredible. Like, Steven and I definitely believe he should be earning an invite to the league camp or the NBA combine. Off the court, what do you think makes him so special? We've heard good things with him having the interviews. So, like, what makes him so special off the court?
Man, I can't help but smile, like, talking about him. Like, he's such a joy. Man, I didn't ever really meet him until the very end of his senior year this year. I sat down with him for dinner, and, like, within the first 3 minutes, I was like, wow, this dude's special.
Yeah.
Like, he's a different dude, like, in a good way. Like, he's wrote two books.
Wow.
He wrote and published two books in college.
To check those
studied,
out. Yeah.
He studied abroad. Like, he's a different, like, his like, he's way too smart of a guy for me to represent. But, you know, he somehow believed in us to do it. But, like, I think his genuineness is, like, he is true to himself. Like, he's not trying to change for anybody. Like, you can see, like, you see how he plays, and, like, then you meet him, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't try to be something that he's not. And that's all. That's, like, the biggest thing we keep telling him. It's like, bro, just be yourself. Like, you're not going to be for everybody, but you only need one team to fall in love with you. That's it. And, like, I don't know where he's going to wind up, but I know he's going to have a long career. Yeah. And, like, he's the off the court stuff, I think, is going to carry him just as far as the on the court. Like, when, like, you hear people say, like, it's a guy you want to have in the locker room.
Yeah.
Like, he's a phenomenal young man. Like, I couldn't be more excited about him.
I love
that. And he's played his tail off here too. So.
He has done fantastic. Yeah, we got words on him by the time that this is out. Like, we will have already had words on him.
Yeah.
Those ceilings too, just about how great that he's been throughout the tournament.
Yep.
I want to ask you though, you know, talking with your players in preparation for Portsmouth, you know, you have to have conversations, obviously, about, like, be yourself and stuff like that. But they're playing with a bunch of guys that they've never played with before. Like, what's that like for your guys? Like, do they talk to you about that sort of stuff?
Or? Yeah. I mean, I think back 2023, we had Trey Jimison here, and his point guard was Yuri Collins.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's like, it was like when you saw the lineup come out, it's like, okay, he's going to have a chance to get the ball in the slots, right? And you have no control over that as an agent. You, like, anybody tells you that, like, they're probably lying. Like, I have no control over what the lineup is going to look like, right? So you've got eight guys out there on team, you know, eight per team, eight teams. Like, they're all trying to get theirs. They're all trying to make an impression. I think, you know, and we always talk about cultivating a role. Like, every guy that's here is going to be a role player at best in the NBA.
Yeah.
99%. There's not many Jimmy Butlers that come through
here. Yep.
Like, there's not many that come through here. Like, these guys are all two-way, Exhibit 10 or overseas guys. Probably. There might be a couple of draft picks here this year, I think.
Sure.
But, I mean, ultimately, like, that's what, like, the biggest thing we do other than, like, the character piece is we always preach about cultivating roles. Mm-hmm. Like, for Kwesi to make it, he has to do the off-the-court stuff like he's going to do anyway. But just keeping the game simple. You know, can he hit wing corner threes?
Yep.
Can Can he attack a straight line closeout? Can he guard?
Yeah.
Yep.
And can he be an energy?
Yep.
And that's really what he's got. Like, it sounds simple, but it kind of is. Mm-hmm. And so I think seeing that here and him shooting it as well as he has, and you know, his finishing stuff's been really good. He's finishing in traffic. He's dunking everything. Like, I think that's what pops, and that's all we're really trying to do. I don't need a guy that, you know, is going to go out. I've never really recruited a guy that's like a volume scorer.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, like you talk about Daquan all the time. Like, Daquan was a small ball forward at Bowling Green when we got him.
Yeah.
You go back and watch Bowling Green film, he's posting up. Yep. You know, he's setting ghost screens and flare screens and ball screens. And like, but I saw that I thought he could transition into a wing that he is today. Right. I just saw the intangibles. So I think the biggest thing is just showing the intangibles. Like, nobody's really going to care what you're averaging here at the end of the day. Nobody's going to remember what Kawasi or Peter Suter or anybody averaged at the end of this. Like,
or if your team won or lost.
Yeah, nobody. I could never tell you. I could never tell you one win-loss record of any guy. Yeah. A year later. Never. So it's just more about what type of impression can you make on it.
Anything else Portsmouth-related?
Yeah, Portsmouth-related. So yeah, you'll find out what's going on with Kawasi and everything. But what are kind of the next step for all your clients after Portsmouth? Is it just getting more workouts? Like, how do you keep them sharp when they are getting before they get to team workouts?
No, great question. So we do a pre-draft process every year. We bring in the rookies that are going through it. We house them, we feed them, we put them through, you know, two on-court workouts a day. We're actually doing it in Fayetteville, Arkansas this year. Right down the street from U of A and.
Blue pig.
I can't say that anymore.
We'll admit that.
Until but deep down. But anyway, you know, we'll put them through the process, and like, you know, we'll have them for 7 weeks from May 1 to June 20th, and try to get them as many workouts as we can, and then make sure they're prepared to do them, right? And so, you know, Kawasi already had a workout earlier in the week with the Knicks on April 13th, which is the earliest one I've ever done.
Yeah.
So that was a little nerve-wracking coming into Portsmouth, but you know, we'll try to prep them on and off the court, you know, do the interview prep. Mm-hmm. We'll have them in the weight room. Like, you're not going to get infinitely stronger in 7 weeks, but can you, you know, like, we had Steve Settle last year. We were talking about Steve earlier.
Yep.
Like, obviously, Steve's got to gain some muscle, but, like, we were just trying to do things to just keep him sharp. He had a lot of workouts last year, like, make sure his body feels good, make sure his mental's good. Just having them ready to go and be in the best shape of their life. Like, it amazes me going to things like this and hearing about pre-draft workouts when guys are out of shape. Like, it's so crazy. I've seen a couple here. I'm like, I mean, I know the season just ended and they probably had a little downtime and all that, but, you know, just making sure they're ready to go.
Yeah, you got to keep the mental right.
For sure.
I think the last thing that we want to ask you, because I know you got to be somewhere soon, the last thing that we wanted to ask you, and we were fortunate enough to meet one of your
mentors,
right? Like, in an agency. What would you tell somebody who, how you put it, is crazy enough to want to get into this? Because you said that you wanted to do this since you were 13. Right?
Yeah. You know, and I never had a, you know, we were talking about Bill Neff. We bumped into it in the lobby. Like, Bill's was a random mentor that, you know, got put in my path, and he's helped me a lot in my journey. Just having somebody to talk to has been there, done that for 30 plus years. You know, coming where we come from, there's not like another agent where I can just go and pick their brain. You know, I guess I'm the only NBA licensed agent in the state of Arkansas. Yeah. So it's not like I can go and talk to somebody about it.
Yeah.
So I had to learn, like, I had to observe, like, I think the biggest thing I could do is, and I think it's just kind of the way I am. When I played, I used to study film on players I wanted to be like, you know. When I was an agent, when I became an agent, I've studied agencies, not out of envy or like trying to be them, but like trying to pick things up. Like, that was the best way I could learn, just through experience and through just, you know, being a parent, like just understanding what they were doing. And, you know, and picking up things that I liked and picking up things that I don't like. So I think the best thing I can say is, like, advice is just like finding what is your niche. Like, okay, maybe you can put up with a little more off the court stuff than I can, like a little more baggage. Okay, that's awesome. Okay, but find a niche that fits you, right? Like, I see a kid all the time, and like we talk about players all the time. Like, he may or may not fit us, and you know, I might tell you a kid and be like, I don't know about him, but like he fits us. And I think you have to always just stay true to what your niche is. Of course, you can divvy a little bit off of it, but like, I think that's my biggest suggestion is just like, be true to yourself. Just find something that works for you. Just align yourself with good people.
Yeah.
And don't be afraid to ask questions. You know, like I've talked to a lot of agents here. Like, you know, I remember coming here, like I said, 4 years ago and not knowing a soul, and like would have died for somebody to talk to me about anything. So like, you know, finding people, I think it's a hard thing to do sometimes. Like, your pride gets in the way.
Sure.
It can be intimidating. For sure. I mean, you walk in Portsmouth and you see all the personnel and the agents and the European agent teams, everybody. It can be intimidating. And, you know, when you're trying to meet somebody, don't be afraid to ask questions. You know, and I think that's the biggest thing. I still do. I'm still learning this thing every day. And I'm far from figuring it out. We got a long way to go. And, you know, that's pretty my best advice.
All right. That's life advice, too, not just in sports, man. That's life advice. We appreciate that.
Absolutely.
All right, James, you got anything else?
No, that's it, Drew. We appreciate your time.
Yeah, man. Appreciate you guys.
Man, we'll go ahead and wrap this up.
Awesome.
That was fantastic, man. Yeah. Thank you so much.